Hey loves, it's Yolanda Renee, host of From Shadow to Sacred, It's Sex in Raw, a podcast where we are here to educate, entertain, and inform about all things sex, sexuality, and sensuality. I myself am a board-certified, kink-conscious sex therapist, and I am here to create the space. You ready? Let's go. Hey loves, it is Yolanda Renee, your spiritual clinical counselor and sexual self-awareness coach. And what are we doing? Bringing you another hot episode of From Shadow to Sacred, It's Sex in a Raw, of course. And I am so excited to bring you this brilliant, dynamic woman to the microphone, Miss Shaniqua Cannon, the brand storyteller, master queen, goddess, whatever she's going to give herself a title of, because that is her. Please bring yourself to the microphone and tell the people a little bit more. Thank you.
Hey, Yolanda. Now, that was an amazing intro. I really appreciate it. I think you pretty much covered it all. The master queen, coach, storyteller, it's all of that. And so I'm basically a person who helps guide people into taking their stories and flipping them into their superpowers. You know, we deal with shame. And I think that's like a really good place to talk about that is the things that we hold as shameful, or even not to use so strong a word, but just as that thing we see as our weakness, often is where our superpower lies. And that is the key to storytelling, is flipping that weakness into your strength so that people understand that you reflect them and you also show them the way to be better.
Wow. I love that. I feel all got all the little tingles in my body. That was beautiful. So
thank you.
Yes. You and I have had plenty of conversations just off the microphone, behind the scenes, just doing us. And one thing we talked about was this idea of detachment when it comes to our sexual selves and what does that look like? So just give us a little bit more about your thoughts on what that means for you.
I loved when you brought that up in conversation. It was on that Activate Vision call where I first heard you speak of it. I've always felt detached. Retract that, because I haven't always felt detached. As we talked about on that call, and now is this was a result of trauma. So in the act of being raped, the thing I remember most is separating from my body. So I focused on the sound of the bird chirping outside of the window instead of what he was doing. And I haven't found my way back to my body. If that makes any sense whatsoever. So I haven't found my way back. And that happened when I was 16. I'm 41 and a half now, you know? So I can't say that I've gotten better, truthfully, because then you become a mom and then you become a partner and there's a million thousand things running through your brain. Did I lock the door? Did I wash the dishes? What are we going to do? And so it just made it worse. And so I would have to talk to myself, like, come on, come back into this, which of course took me out of it, you know? And so it just takes me longer to find complete satisfaction. So I've gotten to a place where I'm just okay with doing that thing. I'm okay with having sex because to me, it feels good. I'm just not going to, expect to explode from it, you know? And even getting to that place was a journey in itself. So the detachment, it's annoying for sure, because I want to have those mind-blowing that I hear about other people having. But it's almost to the point where I've accepted that might not be me. I mean, I'm cerebral anyway on top of that. So it's just this weight of stuff.
There's a couple of different ways we would go with that. So the idea of being detached, like some people feel like, oh, well, you don't have sex if you are detached from your sexual self. It's like, no, you can have sex and be completely.
I have that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it doesn't mean you don't have sex. It's just that you're not in the moment when having it, right? And you said you got to the place where you can have sex and enjoy it, but you don't explode from it. So how did you get to that point? You said that was a journey within itself.
Well, listen, just my whole sexual journey has been one of those. I don't feel like I'm there yet for myself. So I'll be very transparent on that part. I don't feel there yet in in who I want or know myself to be, so to speak, mm-hmm. or not know, but feel myself to possibly be. I think I shared with you the other day that since I was a kid, I've wanted to be a dominatrix. I thought they were so amazing. They're so powerful. And I would love to be able to harness that power mm-hmm. in my sexual being, in who mm-hmm. I am. But as far as like the journey itself is from the time that I was 16 until 31, mm-hmm. I questioned myself. I mean, I did the trauma thing that happens sometimes for some people after rape is I started going, well, I'm going to initiate it because I'm going to say who, I'm going to say where, I'm going to say when. And so I would become the initiator and I thought I was a nymphomaniac. I'm like, I gotta have it all the time. Like it was almost a drug, like an itch of like, I gotta have it to the point where, and I'm being very transparent because I think it helps people, to stop holding these things in to the point where like, I would get off of work and cruise the streets. Looking for my next victim, you know, and willing victim. Let me add that caveat to it. I'll be like, hey, you want to have sex? And they would be like, what? Yeah. And I would almost do like the Pretty Woman thing. Choose your prophylactic, you know, because I was safe with it. But so in that journey of trying to take power of it, of trying to be in ownership of my body. And then the next thing I tried was starving myself of sex. So I would go celibate because I don't like what I'm attracting. I don't like what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so I would have these periods of 1 year, 2 years celibacy, trying to reset, if that makes sense, like, trying to reset myself. And then finally, on my last celibacy of five years, I actually went 5 years at a time. And, you know, at the worst time of your life, I'm in my 20s. I should be having a good time and, you know, exploring relationships and what all that means. But at 26, I went celibate for 5 years. And or maybe I was 25. But during that time, though, I started questioning myself sexually because I couldn't find any pleasure in it. I would do it because, again, that power thing, but I wasn't finding any pleasure. I mean, I was having sex with my shirt on, like there wasn't much I was doing when it came down to sex. So, and then on top of that, I was attracting a lot of married men. So I was trying to reset that because, you know, they won't approach you if you weren't attracting them. And I don't mean because I look good. I meant like mentally, energetically, et cetera. So I would do those resets, but in that time I was like, okay, do I like women maybe? Because I do find women attractive. I love the human body, you know, and I don't like penises. It's weird. I just don't. I think they look funny. I'm like, God made a mistake. I think he forgot. Oh, shoot. I forgot something. And then he stuck it out. I don't know. That's my humor about it. Because I'm like, you have this beautiful male body. And then it's like, eh. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. But so I did question myself sexually. I was like, okay, do I like women and only women? And I was like, no, that doesn't feel like it. And so I started researching and I found this thing called Bicurious. And I was like, okay, what's that? And then, so I said, try that on. And I was like, I'm bisexual. Nope, that's not it either. Like it wasn't it. And then I settled on, well, I'm broken. That's what it is. I'm broken. And then when I met this guy that I'm currently with, going on 10 years now, I wasn't broken. I was like, oh, he was more concerned with me finding pleasure.
Yes.
Before he achieved his own. And the other thing too, he was open to my questions. So while I felt childish at 31, asking these questions. I mean, I had two kids. You would assume that I, you know, I had some knowledge here. But, you know, I would ask him, I was like, so what does that feel like? Or what do you like? Or he would start asking me, so how would that feel? And I'm like, well, can I be honest? And I would start talking about the things. And then with him, I ended up having my first orgasm. Hmm. And I was like, yo, this is what people talk about. This is what people talk about. Because, you know, some of those weird, perfectly aligned places where I wasn't detached, I went there and it was like, and it would come out the blue, like, ooh, oh Lord, there's my journey. Yeah.
And it's interesting because there's so many parts of your journey that I resonate with, starting with the whole idea of flipping the idea of being a victim into turning into your own perpetrator, you know?
Yep.
Because I did it to myself at 13. I was like, nah, I'm not wearing that label of victim. I'm going to take control. I'm going to wear my sexy. But at the end of the day, it was like that identity was wearing me. I wasn't embracing it. So I resonate with that. And even questioning your sexuality, because for a long time, I'm like, I'm 27 years old. I'm not supposed to have a low libido. I'm not understanding this, you know? So I resonate a lot with your journey. And so thank you for sharing it. I appreciate it. And yes, to your God getting you in the spot where you was able to.
I was like, oh my God, this is possible. Yeah. But what's interesting though, you spoke of having a low libido. When I had blood work, I was at the edge of too high. Hmm. Like I would have a lot of testosterone. Like I needed sex, like really need, like I had a boy's, you know, level, I guess you would say, in the 20s. And it didn't help being that broken spirit and having this sexuality. So yeah, that I was definitely on the high end of the spectrum. So
That's interesting. So when you had those alignments where you weren't detached, you were in your body, you were able to experience and feel, were you able to kind of pinpoint what was going on in those moments?
Absolutely not. Otherwise, I mean, like I chase it. It's almost a drug, you know, like trying to get that high again without having to do extra things. Like, you know, for me, the holy grail is to just have a vaginal orgasm. Because obviously, and I've read it, it's in the science, you know, only 30% of women do have vaginal orgasms. Most people need clitoral stimulation.
Yes.
So I understand the science behind it, but I wanted to achieve that thing that other people have been able to achieve. And so when it happened, I was like, okay, so what was I doing? like, what was this felt? Well, I will tell you the position was just the on the top. On the top position. So that would be it. But when it would hit, it would just, when, in that split second, my mind stopped going somewhere else. That split second, it would be, whoa, hold on, wave, you know, but I can't make that happen.
Yeah. And I wonder if it was a combination of what he was doing too, because what I've noticed is that you have to hit the spot for a certain amount of time before it's like, okay, you keep switching up the rhythm. I'm going to need you to one spot. Like, is that something you've noticed?
Well, with him, that position actually is his weakness, as I found out. He doesn't do much of, I mean, like he helps with things, but there is no position switching from him. So it's, I guess, there I am. I'm in control. And that's largely it. That's when he'll lose. That's how we got twins, because he lost it.
Okay.
So listen, he was one of those. but yeah, that was the only position ever that it's happened the few times that it did get a chance to happen.
Got it. That's something to kind of explore and think about, with you being in control and being on top. It's kind of like, you focus in a little bit more too, because you're the one kind of, you know, doing your thing and trying to figure it out. So I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Well, the problem with it is when I do start thinking about my body, you know, because I am a heavier set woman. And so it would be like, am I too heavy? Am I, you know, like all these thoughts. And so, or how do you do it like those other people do it? Like you see them like really having a great time being bucking broncos. And I'm like, I ain't got that energy.
Okay. at you. You got about 2 minutes.
I'm like, listen. Oh my God, is that sweat? That's disgusting. You can't be sweating.
You'll be sweating all over us, whatever.
You know, those are things that I've never experienced. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is this supposed to be happening? What are you doing? They don't do this in movies because I watched a whole lot of those. So it would be, and that's where I think porn isn't too helpful.
Yeah, not at because all.
It's the fantasy. It's not the truth. And the other thing I realized too, talking in that, is that I actually don't like watching straight porn simply because it's so violent. You know, and if you think about the words we use when we're talking about male female interaction, it's beat that up, lay the pipe, smash. They're all very, very violent and not empowering type of words, you know? So, and that's what partially led me to questioning my sexuality, because I'm like, I don't enjoy them, you know? But my favorite part, I'm really telling secrets here. My favorite part of any of those would be when she was able to moan and it sounded real. Not that fake stuff. And I'm like, okay, I love that part. It's weird.
Like she's into it, right?
Yeah. Or like he did something and it just caught her. And it was just that moan of realness. It just, I don't know. It's something very authentic about it. And I love that. And it was like, I need to get there. You know, not where I want to make him feel good, but where, oh God, I'm feeling good.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
I like that switch, that empowerment. Yeah, no, it's cool. I like it. So going back to your sexual identity, do you still feel like you're in this broken space, or are you beginning to align with something that identifies you more?
I'm still not totally there, but that has to do with me and my self-conscious body life right now.
Okay.
So that part is happening. The alignment is also happening because, like I said, we've been together almost 10 years and only now the hand inch up like towards the neck, or he'll do it to me. And I'm just like, I like this, you know? So I'm starting to go, I like that, do that. Or I'm starting to be a little bit more vocal because, you know, my story is all about having lost my voice after the rape thing happened. And so I'm still on a journey towards finding my own voice as I help other people find theirs. And again, I think that's why that moan thing was such a thing for me, because it was her voice. Yeah. And so like that's starting to happen, is I'll tell him what I want him to do. And honestly, he's been waiting for that, you know, truthfully, because he really is into pleasing. So it's like, he's trying to please me and I'm like, man, I want my victory. Give it to me. Like, I love it. But now, because of his patience and doing that, you know, and I'm starting to find what I like also.
And when I think about the moan, I think about the vocalization, right, of that primitive, powerful sexual enjoyment, and that she was able to vocalize that, right, using her voice and express that in a way that it was super authentic. Because I doubt if it's authentic, you're like planning it, like, well, I'm gonna moan just like this at this moment. it just happens. So I get it. I love that. Yeah.
And it's always like just this little moment. And I would watch for it, going, okay. She's just faking, you know, like she's not enjoying you. This must be for money. But that was the thing for me. It's almost like listening to a song and there's this one part of the song you're waiting for because it just sings to everything. And you know, they felt it in that moment. And so authenticity, the realness, that alignment, that I keep seeing like planets, you know, like the whole heavenly alignment. I look for those moments and everything.
I love that. You say in everything, that synchronicity, that, you know, that perfect bliss point, right? Yes. Now, when you talk about your like bi-curious or that type of identification, have you ever thought about the word heteroflexible?
That's a cool word. Well, one of the other things I read was that women are more visually turned on, almost more than men, because we can look at almost anything and be turned on. Like I've actually, this is weird, I've actually seen turtles one time and I was like, like, she's not moving, I think she enjoys it, you know. Like, oh, I think I should go have some too, you know.
I've been inspired.
So and there are just things that do, like music. Oh my gosh, music can turn you on. Yes. Dancing, you know, like, but in seeing it, it's really not the women. You know what I mean? One, I think it's partially the indoctrination that happens in media. Because when I was younger, and I shared this, but when I was younger, we had the fuzzy Playboy channel. And so I would turn the dial, because I was always sexually curious. And so I would turn the dial to get that channel just right. And then when you watched it, and I'm going to tell you, it actually goes more than just women. It's specifically white women, because of how media was. You would just see these women revered as beautiful. And you would see their parts, you know, their boobs or their vaginas, well, not vaginas, but, you know, their organs. And you would never see the men. And you almost never even see, like, they're behind. Like, a man's ass is fantastic. Like, as long as it's not a bubble. You know, it was beautiful. If you look at artwork, the woman is always shown. She's beautiful.
Yes.
We rarely see the man. Or if we do, we see that white man with this little David wasn't long. David was very small. And it's like, that's not cute. So I think that was part of it. Was I've actually had a couple of struggles because of media. I was very heavily influenced by media. So it was the woman's body revered as beautiful. We're able to see it. But it was the white woman. It was like the white woman was always the art. And I was like, well, why don't we see black bodies? And when we do, it's often an emphasis on, well, usually bad lighting. So it would be all these super dark marks and just not beautiful, or they will be doing the grossest of everything. So not something sexy with, you know, slow and kissing and whatnot, but it would always be the one involved in the violent act or slobbing on the knob or, you know, something really gross like that. And so, you know, those little signs or subliminal messages were always there. So they've been things that I've had to ask myself, like, okay, why do I feel this body is beautiful? Why don't I feel that body is beautiful? Like, you know, like really work through that. And then it was, are you attracted to women? Okay. I'm really not. Like, I'm, but when I see a man's body, like when it's deliciously made, a swimmer, a tight end, or it's just like, let me write about you, you know? So I'm inspired that way. So I'm actually just way more completely aroused with men than I am definitely with women. So heteroflexual. Is that how you say it?
That's not it, but that's cute. I like that. Heteroflexual. I like that. No, it's heteroflexible.
Oh. Yeah. I don't think so.
Got it.
But I don't know. But I don't think so.
I'm loving your self-awareness. I'm loving this journey of you questioning, right? And asking yourself, like, what does this mean? What does that mean? Why this? Why that? And that's a lot of the healing process and the healing journey, you know? So as you are still on your healing journey, what's some words you would give to someone else who might be at the beginning of their process or, you know, might be where you are?
One of the things I had to work through first, believe it or not, was religion. You know, growing up in old Baptist churches, I heard a lot about, you know, I won't even say abstinence, but all the submission things of women to men. And then also how homosexuals were against the Bible. So like almost anything that dealt with sex outside of bringing a child forth was sinful, was not to be explored, not to be shared, not to be discussed. And so that was definitely one of those things that I had to start dismantling for myself. Like, who is God for me?
Yes.
As opposed to who has God been taught to be? And so I looked at my own experiences of not sexually, but just my experiences with God, what that looked like for me. And also understanding how we are taught these conflicting things inside of like the Bible or church or what have you. So if you're telling me homosexuals are evil and an abomination, but then you're telling me that God made people in his eyes and he loves everybody, I'm like, those two don't mesh.
Yes.
And one of the things that actually helped me start that journey was working with children in a preschool. And there was a five-year-old who obviously knew his sexuality, but he didn't know he knew, you know, like it was obviously him. He was into all the girl things, quote unquote. You know, he just was very feminine of a young man. And I went, God doesn't hate him. And he's definitely not choosing this. He just is.
Yes.
And so then I'm wrestling with it because I'm like, what's the science behind that? You know? So, you know, for me, it's question everything. Question everything. Question what you were taught. Question what you believe. Question why you can't change your thoughts or beliefs. Because for me, when I'm going, what's the science behind it? If scientifically or biologically we are here to reproduce, then why are there people who will reject the opposite? Because that's their nature. Like, you know, that's just them. So why are there, you know, dogs or birds or whatever, you know, going to the animal world as opposed to the human animal world, like seeking outside of there? I'm like, there just are differences. And why there are differences, who knows? Like, that's just a whole thing. Is it a rerouting? Is it a genetic? Is it whatever it is? I don't know. Is it past lives? Like, that's another thing that I heard possibly is if you had a past life as a male, you might be carrying that over into this one, you know? And I thought that was really interesting. But the bottom line is, I don't know enough to make judgments about other people. I only know enough to start learning myself, not judging myself, because that's where I was strongly in the wrong, was in the judging of myself, judging of my choices, judging, feeling the shame, you know, when it should not be a shame-filled journey. It should be a grace-filled journey. Like, find your path. Like, you hear about these people who are finding out that they are maybe not bisexual, but actually lesbian when they're in their 50s. Like, I don't know what happened. I just went, no, if you had paid attention to you and gave yourself grace and realized your triggers, like what catches your eye really, or, you know, then you might've been a little bit more open. But I think we have a better time too. I think that's also in the play is, I won't say the world's more open, but it's a whole lot less closed.
Yes.
That's basically it, is journey with grace and be okay to pivot and change. You know, I've heard of people going for lesbian relationships and realizing, no, I'm just hurt from here. And I can find something but something else came here that I wasn't expecting. So I also think, stop labeling yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. And I don't mean in non-binary and those, because those are labels too. I think just stop labeling.
Yes. Allowing yourself to just be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So as we close out, when you think about your relationship with self now, your sexual self, sensual self, and just being, how has that transformed?
I can have sex with a light on.
I mean, that's big. What?
That's huge, because it doesn't, I don't stop thinking about my fupa, but I don't let it stop me from enjoying the time with my partner. And, you know, like I said, I'm coming out of my shell and I'm starting to vocalize, which has been a huge journey in itself. And I'm starting to figure out what I like and to ask for, not permission, but it's something that you always say is laying the boundaries. Can we do this? are you okay with this? Or what's, well, we don't have sex words yet because we haven't gone there yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've stopped pretending to sleep.
I know that journey. So the idea of intention and consent, like, let's talk about what we want to try. We on the same page and let's see what it did.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. She said, with the lights on, she ain't pretending to be sleeping. He got to try and ease the panties off. She lift a leg up.
Listen, you know them codes we do, like go to bed without the panties and scoot back.
All that little tricks.
Yeah, man. And the other thing on that too is I don't have to have a shirt on. Mm. Like I said, like that was my whole journey until him. And I don't think he even understands how big that was.
I love it. Yeah. Where can the people find you, ma'am? Where can we find you?
Man, mm-hmm. You can just go to Shaniqua.com.
Okay.
And so if you go to Shaniqua.com, that's my website. But you can find me on, oh man, I know they say brand yourself the same across every platform, but that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I'm at Shaniqua Cannon on IG mm-hmm. and The Right Diva on Twitter.
Gotcha.
I'm also on The Right Diva on IG too. I have two pages. So okay. Either way, you can find me.
Well, we're going to make sure they got all the links and all the things so that they can get to you without any issues or problems. But this has been amazing. I love your authenticity. I love that you were vulnerable and open. Thank you so much for sharing space and wisdom with us.
Thank you for creating space, especially for people who look like me.
Yes. I'm going to have you back on because it's just, I love talking to you. It's just, I love seeing you in your life.
I'm going to take that invite, fellow projector.
Thank you. Okay, love. So until next time, this has been another episode of From Shadow to Sacred with Miss Shaniqua Cannon. We're going to see y'all on the flip. Bye for now. Hey loves, now I hope y'all enjoyed that last episode of From Shadow to Sacred is Sex and Raw, and that y'all are staying in tuned and following us in all of the places so you can get the episodes as they drop. Until next time, see y'all on the flip. Bye for now.